partially that, you know, we should make sure that we're not amaratzim, amaratzim deraisa, or minig. A few points. Number one, just I want to touch on one thing with kidneys. Kidneys is a minig which is already mentioned by the Rishonim. It's possibly been mentioned by the in the Gaonim. It's mentioned for sure in the Rishonim. It's a minig Ashkenaz. It was not niskabel by minig Svarad. It's a minig which is with like all minhagim for a person to remove that minig, it would require the halachas that the minig should come batal, which it is not batal. It's relevant both in Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz. So a person is an Ashkenazi in Eretz Yisrael, he can't drop that minig. That's a mistake which many people make. I actually had that question came up recently. Somebody asked me that question because they have a child learning there, and all of their friends went to Eretz Yisrael, and they decided to drop the minig of kidneys. So I said they have no right to do that. They said, you know, so there's this mistaken understanding that's a minig of galus. You know, galut. Is that a minig of galut? Vanaknu hakalutzim. You know, etc. You get my point. So it's incorrect. Minig kidneys is relevant, even as man as even Eretz Yisrael. I just want to explain something just what the word kidneys means, because you know people translate the kidneys as legumes. That's a horrible translation. Then they ask, well, what's legumes? So why is corn kidneys? Because corn is not a legume. That's a good question. The answer is kidneys doesn't mean legumes. If you look at the Rambam in Hilchos Klayim, the end of the first parak, the Rambam says there are three types of seeds. There are edible seeds and seeds which are not edible, which can be planted and create edible foods. He's talking about Hilchos Klayim, right? Then there are edible seeds which are divided into two edible seeds of plants, which are divided into two groups. The five grains, which are called tavua. And all other edible seeds are considered called kidneys. That's what the word kidneys means. Anything which is an edible seed of a plant is called kidneys. That's the translation of the word. It's nothing to do with legumes. Legumes happen to be one of those things which the Rambam said different. Rice is there. The Rambam gives an example. He says, is a doichin, millet, all these things which are not legumes. But the Rambam says that clearly those are called kidneys because that's what the word means. If the Tosfos Yomtiv and his Hakdama to Masechtas Klayim quotes the whole language of the Rambam, and it's in the Perikal, it's Halacha Tes, Perikal Halacha Tes of Hilchos Klayim, and the Tosfos Yomtiv in his introduction quotes it. So that's why he says, let me ask you, so why is mustard seed initial, mustard is not legumes, why is it a problem of kidney is? Well, it's an edible seed. That's very simple, what the translation is. One question which comes up, it says, if the Xer was on kidneys, so anything which would go into that category should be included, even if something which is discovered later on, or alternatively, it's only the ones which they were aware of when they made the Xer. So that's a question, that's the famous question about quinoa and those type of things. What's the status of quinoa regards to Pesach? Even if you want to use quinoa, you should not use it for Pesach without a valid supervision, which that itself is questionable, because there are various reasons why Chazal were goes, the Rishonim were goes on kidneys. One is because you can make it into some type of a paste and type of flour. Other is because it used to grow, many things used to grow near fields which there was wheat and they used to get mixed in. Quinoa actually has that property that it's something it can grow near places where they grow wheat and sometimes it can get mixed in. So you'd want to have a very good heksher on that if you would use that. But I just want to people should know the translation because I've gotten this question all. Since kidneys is legumes, so why is this? The answer is that it's a fallacy to start with. At least you shouldn't be an Amar, it's deraisa or derabanan or minig, whatever you want to call it, on that concept. That's number one.
It includes grains that are seeds that are edible, and only edible after processing. Grains are.
That's correct. That's what edible seeds means. Yeah. Okay. Second point, just to touch on the idea of you know people are at different levels of shmura matzah, shmura mishas. There's three levels of shmir and alacha. There's shmir mishas lisha, which would be obviously the most obvious thing. The time once you add water to the flour, you better make sure that you're watching your matzahs. Mishrat the matzahs. You better make sure that you're overseeing it to make sure that it's done l'shem mitzvah. Required it has to be done l'shem mitzvah. It also requires that that you should make sure there's no chimutz. There is a discussion on halacha. What exactly is the mitzvah of l'shem? This halacha of matzahs have to be l'shma. Doesn't mean there's a concept of l'shma l'shem mitzvah. It just means that there should be a shmira from chimutz. So that is a discussion. Okay. Then you have shmur mishas tchina, as opposed from the time it changed it from a wheat kernel into flour, you need shmur mishas tachina, and then there's shmur mishas ksira. The Rambam sheet is that you need shmur mishas ksira. And actually, our custom when we talk about shmurim mishas ksira, the Gemara is clear that there's such a thing as chimutz of the kernel itself, even when it's on the plant. If the plant is on the, is fully grown to the point that the kernel will not, I mean, all of our kernels at first glance theoretically should be chametz because they grow and there's rain, right? So there's water on your wheat. So why isn't it a problem? The answer is that's how it grows, and as it's growing, it does not become chametz. Once it's reached the stage where it's no longer growing at all, there's no more growth at all. Even when it's on the stalk, theoretically, it could become chametz. If water would get out, and that's where what's known as shmurus b'shas ksira, they actually harvest the wheat when it's not fully ripe. Even before it's fully ripe, they harvest the wheat. It's not to get involved in that shaila. So there are three different shitas in halacha. In the bidyavid situation, the Rambam says you can buy kemach min hashuk. Nowadays, that's not relevant, buying kemach min hashuk, buying flour, because the commercial flour which we have, there is water used in the process of processing it. So theoretically, it could be chametz. It's not vade chametz, but it's safek chametz. Any flour you have, which is commercial flour out there, but once upon a time, they just ground wheat. So there's no big spritz. So there was no chashash chimutz be'etzem. We're not really in chashash chimutz. We just have this machloikas of when is the chiyuv shmirah from. So in the bidyavid situation, we use that. It's preferred to use shmur mishas tchina. And the Rambam and the other Rishonim said that the halacha is shmur mishas ksira. And that's why we talk about whenever you say matzah shmur, we mean shmur mishas ksira. Matzah shmur can come in two forms. It can come in hand matzah or machine matzah. You can have shmur mishas Shmur Mishas Ksira of either of them. That just means at what point in time you started being Sharma the wheat. There's something known as 18-minute matzah. It's even a matzah, which is really a misleading point. I mean, that the only thing that it has, it doesn't have the mile of shmur mishas ksira, it has the mile of 18 minutes. The reason why it's referred to as 18-minute matzah is the following. What's the other option? You know, we know that the shear for chimutz is 18 minutes. Now, actually, that's a machloikas, you know, but nobody's being makel on that shita. The guardian holds of the shear of chimutz is more than 18 minutes, but nobody's makel on that shita. It is because there's a question like this. When they first started doing machine matzah, so they didn't have a way to really clean out the machine. The machine matzah basically were cracker machines, and they converted a cracker machine to make it a matzah machine. So the machine would run continuously. The machine runs continuously, so it wasn't stopped every 18 minutes and cleaned out. So 18 minute matzah means that it was stopped every 18 minutes and it was cleaned out. That's what that means. So how do those work? Of course, you know, the argument, the vast majority of the dough is processed and it's baked, etc. And even if there's a little piece which is there, it'll be bottled. It'll be it's mixed in with the other dough which comes by, and it's bottle. So that halacha is that is bottle. There is a discussion in halacha, sheet in halacha, which says that chametz is bottle before Pesach is kosher v'nir. It reawakens on Pesach, and that's why we don't want to rely on bittel for matzahs. But the first machine matzahs, which were totally machine produced, had to rely on bittel. So somebody came along and created a machine which you could stop every 18 minutes, stop it, and clean out every single part of it. And that's what they do. So that's why it's referred to as 18-minute matzah, as opposed to the ones which wasn't 18 minutes, which was constant. On the other hand, it's not shmura matzah in the sense that it didn't have, wasn't the wheat which is being used is not shmura mishas ksira. You anything which is shmur machine matzah, which is shmur mishas ksira, is also 18-minute matzah. We don't have that matzias out there. That people are being makbet on shmur mishas ksira and using bittel. So by definition, the two go together. So just be aware of that. The question, just a very, very basic question about machine matzah. Machine matzah has a mila. We'll see in a second that there's some manufacturer elements of as opposed to hand matzah, which is there's a lot more human error. The machine is very consistent in what it produces. But the other hand, the biggest question with machine matzah is lishma. The biggest question with machine matzah is considered lishma. There's a lot you have to make your matzah lishma. So is it called lishma when the machine is doing it, not you doing it? So I think I go over to my machine, and I think l'shem it says matzah, and I push the button. and now the machine works for the next 18 minutes, you know, making matzah. Is that called the mitzvah matzah was made lishma? Because I thought lishma when I pushed the button. Is that sufficient? Alternatively, we could argue that if the main definition of lishma is that it should be shmurah from chimutz, well, there's mashkech, they're watching, make sure that everything's running properly, it's shmur mechimutz. There is actually somebody doing that. So, do you need an active involvement of the person while you're needing it, etc., you're making it lishma? That's the definition of lishma, that you're doing it. Well, mishas ksira, I did that, but I haven't. And we're shomer mishas ksira. We hide it in, you know, very stored, you know, good places, etc. So what does that mean? So that's a bit, that's again, that's a discussion. Can you have lishma my machine matzah? It's interesting. My two Rosh Hashivas, Rosh Hashiva Gifter, would not allow hand matzah in his house. He was concerned about chometz. He'd only use machine matzah. And Rosh Hashiva Chaim only use hand matzah. And so it was. So you walked away with a very clear definition of what to do.
Why don't we say it was built lishma?
What?
Why don't we say it was built the machine?
Yeah, but that's not part of the process of processing the matzah. Okay, now I just want to touch on what you find. There's not every matzah which comes out of the oven are we going to accept. You know, it's baked. We have to make sure that it was baked properly. So we check the matzahs afterwards, and theoretically, the mashgiach should be checking every matzah to make sure that you don't have any problems which are coming out. You shouldn't be seeing the following. You shouldn't be seeing a matzah which comes out looking like this. That's known as a kfula. All right, it's doubled over. This was the other part of it. It also came out soft. So soft to the point. Now, matzahs come out soft. It's fascinating to watch the matzahs. Matzahs come out, many of them come out soft. And according to halacha, that's fine. The fact that the matzah is a little bit bendable is not a problem. If it's stretchable, it's a problem. So this matzah, actually, which I can't show you because it hardened since then, it was actually stretchable when it came out. So this is chometz gomer. This is a chometz gomer shmur meshas ksira machine hand matzah. So that's quite a treat. What?
Chometz, you can eat it right now.
Yeah, theoretically you can eat it right now.
What were the other parts of the oven?
Now, the halacha is, so this part was baked fine. So when you have a matzah which is chometz, you don't discard the whole matzah. I mean, obviously we're not going to, you know, listen, you know, we're in our society, we throw everything else out, we can throw out a matzah also. But the ikar then the shear is you have to remove an inch. Ksena tila, which is about an inch over an etzba, the thickness of a thumb, around the area which is chometz, and the rest of it is usable. So if you'd find a matzah where it's bent over, it's totally bent over. So you have to remove that. That's as far as we're saying the halacha. That's considered chometz. You have to burn it. If you find it in a pesach, you'd have to burn that. Okay, get involved. The shalat you sold to the goy. That's the discussion. Can you burn the chometz that you sold because you sold your chometz to the goy? What you find is what's more common. Tzetz on halacha is a kfula. It's doubled over. So truly doubled over is really problematic in halacha. It's considered chometz. What you find what's more common is you'll find a crease. You'll find sometimes on the matzah it looks like there's like a layer of matzah is pushed over another layer beneath it. Am I picturing that? Everybody knows like look like a line. What?
Like a wave.
Like a wave. It looked like there's a line going through the matzah. That line means that when they rolled over the dough. A little bit of the dough went over some of the dough which is beneath it. And it's flat. When it's baked ikar, then that's not chometz. So you can use it as for lechem mishnah, you know, and then but our meaning is to remove it. But it's not chametz. It doesn't have a din of chametz. So you don't have to burn it. You know that's not real. It's preferable that if a person can check beforehand, so you don't have to get involved in that. You can check beforehand. But theoretically, you can use it for lechem mishnah after you break the matzah. You just remove that part. The kfula you can't use for lechem mishnah. You have chametz and you're sitting and your pesach at the table. So I wouldn't advise that. A true bona fide kfula. There's another thing which is mentioned in halacha, which is known as a matzah nefucha. So I mean, all of your matzah has little bumps. It has little, there's little air pockets, very small air pockets. So the matzah, as it rises, there's these little elements which bump up. That is not a problem. But if it's a significant bump, So our matzahs are very thin, meeker than probably our nefuchos nowadays are not considered nefucho, but the matzahs were thicker. If you would feel like the layer of dough in between, there's an air bubble inside which the two layers of dough separated, as opposed to just this little top thing which scorches off. If that's what would happen, that would be considered chametz. And also be problematic. We're afraid that because of that, it didn't bake well inside. Again, probably nowadays we don't really have since ours is so thin, it's not such an issue. There's a shear given in halacha; it has to be the gap has to be large enough that something can fit inside of it. You know, something. So the dimensions over there, an egg goes, whatever how big an egg goes is. Right? So over here to be machmer in the smaller size egos. If you're in the finer egos is so. If that would be the situation, it would have a din of chometz, and you would have to remove that with an inch around it, and theoretically you would burn that, leaving aside the shiloh whether you sold your chometz to the goy. The last thing, which is if your matzah looks pale, as opposed to looking brownish, you know, it's browned. So that's also a concern in halacha, that maybe didn't bake well. So these things do happen in hand matzahs. They don't happen in machine matzahs. This is some major malfunction in the machine. So that's one of the milas of the machine matzahs, is they don't have this concern. You have the shalav lishma, but the concerns you don't have. So that's the discussion back and forth. I do want to mention one thing. There's something known as Erev Pesach matzahs. So it's mentioned in halacha, the concept of making matzahs Erev Pesach. We should be zochel this year that should be not relevant because we'll bring the Korban Pesach and Erev Pesach, Pesach Hashem. But when they don't have the Korban Pesach, so by the Hasidim this became a very big thing. This is, as it were, replacing the Korban Pesach. They actually sing challah when they make it, etc. One of the questions you have with it, it's beautiful chashuv, very chashuv a minig, etc. The question is, you have to people know what they're doing. And if they're busy singing the halal and focusing on saying the halal, not saying and rolling the matzahs properly, or they don't know what they're doing rolling the matzahs. So I had a Rebbe who, his son became a Shekhar Chassidisha, and he was into, into Erev Pesach matzahs, and his father would not allow him to bring the chametzik of matzahs in his house, as he put it. Because the people who baked it didn't know what they were doing. So anytime you're dealing with that, you want to make sure have people know what they're doing. Just in touching on that question of about burning chametz which belongs to the goy. So that's an interesting question. So nowadays we sell all of our, we sell chametz to the goy. So we have the designated chametz we sell to the goy, and then we throw in a phrase: if there's any other chametz that I have in my position, which I'm I'm selling to the goy also. That doesn't work for anything which became chametz on Pesach, because the sale is effective every Pesach. But if I have a matzah which is a kfula, I have it already. I own that already, so I sold it to the goy. So now I find that on Pesach, I found this matzah which is cool. Originally, you should check your matzahs before Pesach to make sure they don't have any of these problems. The Mashgiach should get all of these things. But sometimes there's human error. So let's say you would check it beforehand. But let's say you didn't, but if you didn't check it beforehand, you notice it on Pesach. So what do you do? Or a person finds chametz, bona fide chametz. Some of you had the experience. I had my experience of finding a roll on Pesach one year, tucked away in an umbrella stroller, which was collapsed. And I didn't think about opening up the umbrella stroller to find the bag with the roll in it. And so second day Yom Tov, we went to take my son to the park. This is a lot of years ago already. I opened up the umbrella stroller and there's a roll there. So halacha is very clear. So on Yom Tov itself, it's muksa. On Yom Tov itself, you cover it over with the kli. Comes matzah Yom Tov, you burn it immediately. You find that in Chol HaMoed, you'd burn it immediately. It's very clear in halacha what you do with it. It's a discussion whether you make a bracha or not. Okay, fine. I sold it to the goy. The halacha says that the halacha says to burn it. The Mishabura discusses maybe on Yom Tov itself, can you grind it up and throw it to the toilet? He says, promise, it's his muksa. Can you give it to a goy to do that for you? So Mishabura brings such a possibility, and he suggests, it's better to leave it and to burn it. But that being said, so I sold it to the goy. So what's the halacha? So I can't burn somebody else's thing. It's mazik, zela, whatever it is, it's whatever. So there are three shittas in halacha. One shittah says you can't burn it; it's not yours. One shittah says you have to burn it. One shittah says that you're allowed to burn it if you want. So Ravosn Shemer for Shlema suggests that you'll be allowed to burn it. Because the goy's not makbet, because he might say, even though you sold it to him, but the chances are of him coming to pick up that role are very minimal. So he's not makbet. So if you want him to carry the mitzvah of burning the chametz, so he'll be meichel you to you, that you have a right to, we can assume that he's vare meichel, and you can carry the mitzvah of burning the chametz. Interesting shita. Like, am I chuyuv to or not? I'm not a chesidah shiur, I understand. He'll build some chaim zayin, the heilig mitzvah for burning chametz, so I need reshus from the goy. I'm not a chesidah shiur, So do I have to burn it or not? He doesn't tell you that. I'm assuming that he is assuming that halacha, you don't have to burn it. That being said, there are some persons who say that because this mechira is this really strange mechira, in the sense of it, halacha it's a mechira, it's binding, a person could come and could take the items if he wanted to, and clearly that's, but on the other hand, we know that he's not going to, and I know I'm going to get it back, and so do I have any level of responsibility for the chametz? Hopefully not, because then I'm in big trouble. So there are some persons who say you should burn it.
One of those
knots
is in your box. Does it make the top or bottom
knot? No, because we assume that it went in not. By the time we got into the box, it was not hot enough to do anything, to affect anything. The only thing which would be relevant if the Mashgiach found it. So the what it says in Halacha is the stick which you used to pull it out, that became chometz because that hit it when it was absorbed. So it's very simple. You stick it into the. Into the fire and you burn it out. There's libun is a very easy thing to do in a matzah bakery, right? But regards to the matzahs around, that you're not worried about the one above and one below. By the time it gets into the box, it's not a problem.
When it first came out of the oven, theoretically, the matzahs it touched will be an issue, though.
Theoretically,
you know,
first of all, you have no idea which matzahs that are touched, because the time it gets into the box, and not necessarily ones next to it.
It's gomor, you would be if some chametz gomor touched your matzah,
You're right. Listen, we learned Gemara Pesachim, and the more toxication, there's nine Siburim of matzah, one of chametz, and you go Basarayev and you eat it, really? We're going to eat this thing, which is, it's 1/10, it's 10% possibility that it's chametz, right? Halacha says it's Royev, and you're allowed to eat it, And if you don't eat it, the poison say you don't believe in Royev, so you have a shal, you're an apikaris, because you don't believe in a Royev, I'm going to eat this, I bend over backwards, 17 times not to have my, it's brought down there's a Sharatzin talks about there's a minute they had to scrub the walls. Because maybe some chametz will fly off of the wall. It'll fly through the room and end up on my food. Right, so he said, "Don't make fun of Minig Yisrael. It's a Makar and a Yerushalmi. It's a Minig Yisrael. Don't make fun of it. All Minhag Yisrael are very, very chashuv. That's what the Sharatzin says. That's how vite we go. But okay, my son, there's Roy over here, and 10% that's chametz, but tough luck, we're going to eat it. I don't know. It's an interesting question. But that's a Gemara. Yeah, you're right. Theoretically, we shouldn't do that. But my son,
if a roll touched your
matzah, you rub it off, meeker, then you rub it off, and it's mutter. So that's okay. Very good.
Can you work with the goy if you have no idea that this thing exists, and the goy has no idea?
So your kinyan is pretty straightforward. The kinyan what you're doing is you're saying that A, selling them items A, B, C, D, whatever those are, set aside specifically. It's preferably, really would refer to halacha. You would know what you're setting aside or possibly enumerate it and the value theoretically, but at least you know what you're setting aside, you know what it is. Then you say anything else that I have which goes into this category, I'd like to sell to you also. So theoretically you could have such a sale, the sale being I'm selling these items A, B, and C, and I would like anything else which meets this category. If we both agree to it, why shouldn't it work?
You don't know that it exists.
Okay, so we're defining a category and we're selling it. I'm selling you anything in my house that starts with the letter R.
Really, you could do that?
Why not? If you both agreed to the kinyan, why shouldn't it work? Now, well, afterwards we'll go through and make a list. What starts with the letter R? So, everything says Rheingold on it, but they don't... better pick a letter as L or something like that. C, I don't know, but whatever. You could do that, theoretically. As long as we both agree to it, you can do my sekinyan. There is like shailan halacha in Kosher Mishpah. There's a concept in halacha of darshan masuyim. Darshan masuyim is problematic for the kinyan, but pashtus you obviate that problem by having things which are masuyim. So the kinyan is chal, it can be chal in this also.
So basically, Bachum can't sell chametz because I don't own any property. I'm not selling any property.
No, you can sell chametz. You can sell your chametz.
But I don't have any chametz.
So don't sell your chametz.
So is there any point in selling the sale of
So theoretically, you might have medications, you might own something which halachically maybe is considered chametz still, it's edible. And there are things which, you don't lose anything by selling, except for paying, giving the rabbi a donation for Yom Tov, which is not such a bad thing.
If I don't have any chametz gomer, then you're bittle, you bottle everything, what's the point of selling?
You don't have to sell it if you don't want to sell it.
Do you have to sell?
I had that attitude also. I want to tell you, I had that attitude like I was a bar. I wanted to have nothing to sell. I was, I didn't arrange for it here in Cleveland. I went to New York for Yom Tov. And Yom Tov I chopped, I had something which was a medication which really was edible, and I checked that it was possibly chametz. So I erev Pesach about 11 o'clock in the morning. I ran over to the Rav. Did you sell yet? I called him up. He says, no, we're sitting with the guy right now. Come right now. So you don't want to have that situation. I did it once. I'm never going to do it again. They had to run over.
If you don't think of what you're going to sell anyways, it's not going to help. I mean, same
do you have to sell pots and pans?
Sorry? You don't sell kalim. If you sell kalim, so now you can't belong to the goy. After Pesach, you buy him back. You bought kalim from a goy, the chayv and tefillah. So you sell the chametz in the kalim. You don't sell the kalim.
But,